Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Amen. Warriors of the Most High. Praise God. You know, it's amazing that when we were in the world, we used to run from the presence of God. Now to be born again, we should be running to the presence of God. Amen. Not from the presence of God. And especially in these last days where there's so much influence, you know, and as soldiers of the body of Christ, warriors of the Most High, third dimensional warriors, you know, there's training, amen? And training is for reigning. Oh, hallelujah. And in training, one of the things the Lord does is he begins to expose the strategies of the enemy. You know, before there's a military operation that's the start, especially like on an aircraft carrier or something like that, if any of you have ever been in the military, there's always a strategy set. All the pilots come into a room and so forth, and they're set up. There's a plan. There's a strategy set. And the first thing that is exposed before they are given a plan is their enemy. Their locations, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and so forth, before a plan is even released and how to attack it. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit is always releasing to us in that area of the strategies of the enemy. And then he releases what to attack. In other words, we use the same tools and weapons. Does everybody understand that? God has given us the keys of binding and loose. He's given us the power of life and death in the tongue. He's given us a word that won't return void. He's given us the sword of the Spirit. He's given us his name, his word, and blood. He's given us his Spirit. We got no excuse. There should be zero failures and fights and battles. There should be constant victories no matter what. Amen? Would you turn to the book of Galatians in chapter 5? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. To first have victory, you must be serious about your walk. I mean, you must be sold out. You can't be half-stepping with your walk. This is a real reality. Real reality. And in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 7, would you read it with me? He says, you ran well. Who hindered you from what? Obeying the truth. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, you've stepped out of following the truth and practicing the truth. Who hindered you? It says, this persuasion does not come from God, or him who calls you. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Do you understand that it only takes a little bit of compromise? If you've ever realized that if you have a pinhole leak in the raft that you've been floating in your pool with, if you fall asleep, you will be woken by the water as you slowly drift into it. So he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to what? Liberty, freedom. Freedom. But one of the things that occurs is even though a person is called to freedom, they misuse freedom. He said, Only do not use this liberty or freedom as an opportunity to fulfill the flesh. Why? Because then if you do that, you will open the door to another, your enemy. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. None. How many of y'all want to start all over again? How many of y'all want to start all over and earning God's trust again? Does everybody understand that? This is where if we're really serious about our walk and serious about our relationship with the Lord, we're willing to do whatever it takes to keep everything between you and the Lord out. Amen? Because we want to be pleasing to Him. He says, only do not use liberty or this freedom as an opportunity to fulfill your flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you become what? Consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, that you do not do the things that you desire or wish or lust over. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of sin and death and hell. Amen? Now the works that are flesh are evident. Is everybody there? Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it according to fulfilling the flesh of selfish ambitions. He said, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life. Does everybody get that? But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control or control over self. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, those who are truly sincere, sold out, walking with the Lord, walking in Christ, that are sincere about their walk, have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, its lusts. Verse 25. He says, if we what? If we live in the Spirit, let us what? Also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, self-confident, provoking one another, envying one another. And one of the things, why? Because these things are going to cause us to stumble. I want to share that right now there's an end time hindrance that I, as the Spirit released to me, you know, sometimes when the Spirit releases things, so you begin to see. And I believe right now the Spirit is releasing a strategy of the enemy, because sometimes we're involved in something, don't even know we're involved in it. Amen? And one of the things that is happening, this end time hindrance, it is the provoking of envy. It's provoking envy. These spirits, these demonic spirits, Satan's kingdom is provoking envy. In other words, they're pushing envy. They're promoting envy. They provoke me and you to envy. Does everybody get this? It's used by the enemy to cause God's children to fall. It is a push with envy through carnal technology and lust. If you look at everything that's on TV, even the secular technology is provoking envy. 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 Now I want you to know that something about envy, it is an emotion. And demons get fed by emotions. Envy. It's a feeling of dissatisfaction, or resortful longing, or aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or favor in their life. Envy. Now, there's an area where envy can actually, because God is going to provoke jealousy to the Jews and hope that they will come to salvation. Has everybody got that? But there's an area where the enemy is provoking God's children to envy, and it's the wrong envy. Amen? It's this envy is promoting an area of jealousy, anger, division, strife. It provokes these things. So know that this envy, it's also a desire to have quality, possession, or other one's belongings. Someone else, in other words, people envy, they're jealous, they're begrudged. And Proverbs 23. You know, as a believer, when we see somebody being promoted and growing, we should be joyful, not envious. Praise God, they're growing. Praise God, they got it. When somebody gets blessed with a vehicle or blessed with someone, a believer should be going, "Thank you, Lord." We should be joyful for that person, not envious. That envious is nothing but from the devil. And that is a strategy that is increasing greatly in the kingdom of God. Listen, the enemy uses God's children to infiltrate his kingdom. So we need to shut the door to envy. Amen? Proverbs 23, is everybody okay? Oh, I pray the Lord open our eyes to all the areas. And Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I'm going to Proverbs 23 right now. In Proverbs 23, in verse 17. Let's speak it together. What does it say? Do not let your heart what? Envy sinners. But be what? Zealous for the fear of the Lord. When? All day. Hello. So you want to walk, let me share, you want to walk in the reverence and honor and respect of the Lord. That's called fear. You know why? Because you love. If you don't love someone, you don't respect them. You can say you love them all day long. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, but if there's no respect or honor, there is no love. That's nothing but words. Amen? It's nothing but words. Because respect and honor is associated with love. We love the Lord. That's why we reverence Him. We fear Him. Amen? But it's not a fear of torment or terror. It's a fear of honor, respect, and love. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Hear, my son, and be what? Be what? So I think we're going to need to have a little wisdom here. See, wisdom tells you what to do. If there's not, look, if you're not in God's presence, wisdom's not released. The only wisdom you're going to eat from is the wisdom of the world. You won't get the wisdom from above. Only the wisdom from above comes from God's presence. Hear, my son, and be what? Wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with what? Wine bibbers. Or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to what? Poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with what? Rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. By the truth. In other words, there's a price for truth. You cannot listen. You must hear. Listen nods its head. Yeah, yeah. But doesn't receive. See, because when you listen, you don't put it to practice. When you hear, you do. That's why the Lord says, he who has an ear, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So there's a difference between listening and hearing. Buy the truth and do not what? Don't sell it. Don't. How many of y'all know that the devil wants to buy the truth from you? He exchanges it in fulfilling the desire of your flesh. He offers you something to fulfill your flesh, and he buys the truth from you. But you and I buy the truth by a price. We fight for the presence of God. We take the time to be consistent. Amen. We're willing to deny ourselves, and we're willing to hear, obey, and follow. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? All right, let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, verse 22. 24, I'm sorry. Oh, I want to finish 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also what? Wisdom and instruction and understanding. So don't sell wisdom. Don't sell the instruction you've got. And don't sell the understanding you've got. Don't exchange it for the provoking of the world to provoke you to lust, to provoke you to envy, to provoke you to jealousy, to provoke you to rage, to provoke you to the works of the flesh. Amen? Verse 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Now, you ready? 26. Are you ready? Here it is. My son, do what? Give me your heart. Give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Listen, there every day you must exchange your heart for his. That is a duty. That is a discipline. Why? Because if you walk out of your home with your own heart, you're asking for trouble. You walk out of your home with his heart. You walk out of your home with dressed with the full armor of God and his heart, his mind, his will, his desires, and not your own. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim and increases the unfaithful among men. Now, he's not just talking about a female. Does everybody understand that? He is talking about a seducing, seductress spirits. These are called provoking spirits. They seduce us. They provoke us to what? Envy, jealousy, rage, division, selfish ambitions. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Those that walk in darkness, in other words, those that walk in darkness and prosper, don't envy them. Amen? Give the Lord your heart daily. These are seductive, seducing spirits. They're also known as deceiving spirits that provoke. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, this is a strategy that the Lord is exposing of what is happening right now. So when we get this, we share it. Amen? Why? To assist others in the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, this is not the only place this message is being released. The Spirit knows exactly what's happening. In verse 1, chapter 4, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says that what? In the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and what? Doctrines of demons. There we are. People are going to fall from walking with the Lord. They're going to fall from fulfilling their call. They will fall into religiosity first. Amen. Then they will begin to drift. They will look for fulfillment of the flesh and not fulfillment of God's presence. They will have a form of godliness. They can act it, but their fruits will be flesh, not fruits of the Spirit. See, people can act it. Amen. They can pray in the Spirit, dance, jump around, lift their hands, and say hallelujah. But you'll know them by their fruit. Always know them by their fruit. So we got to see here that this is the attack. It is provoking, that these demons are provoking envy right now. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Listen, when I was out there using drugs, I was provoked constantly. Those demons wouldn't let up, man. You gotta use, you gotta get this, you gotta, always. Man, they didn't let up. The only time they would let up is when you considered suicide. Until they saw your blood dripping out of your body. Then they would let up. Why? Because then they were getting fed even more. See, they let up when they get fed. Does everybody get this? They let up when they get fed. Then people think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't sense the... No, they just got fed. Oh, hallelujah. We need to learn and stop getting burned. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Is everybody there? Cool. We'll start at verse 1 and speak it together. Now Satan did what? Stood up against Israel. In other words, he provoked David. And moved. That word moved means provoked. Does everybody get it? Now Satan stood up against Israel and he provoked David to number Israel because God told him don't number. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Satan provoked David to number. What did he put? Why? Because he provoked David in envy. He was comparing the nation of Israel with other nations who had more people under leadership. Oh, hallelujah. And in verse 3, and Joab answered, is everybody there? May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, hold on, King David. My Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's servants? What was he trying to do? He was trying to expose the provoking. He was trying to expose the influence of the enemy that was provoking King David. He said, why then does my Lord require this thing? And why should he be the what? Cause of guilt in Israel. Man, he just told David, bro, you do this, we're going to get judged. Please, King David, don't do this. But the king was provoked and already made his mind up. How many of you know that's what you have to do is touch and agree in your thoughts and it's over? Unless you break it. Verse 5. Verse 4, I'm sorry. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Then the Lord spoke to Gad. He did not speak to David. Let me tell you, you want to lose the voice of God quick? I'll tell you what will replace the voice of God: familiar spirits. And they will promote you. They promote flesh. They promote you. Does everybody get this? And the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, with the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Those are tough choices. But he had to reap what he what? Sowed. Nobody escapes reaping what we sow. Nobody. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. I bet. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. So he lost 70,000 men in 3 days. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough now, restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Arnon the Jezebite. And David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and not my and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arnon the Jezebite. In other words, to offer up a sacrifice. See, when you and I fall into troubles, what God is waiting for is repentance and the offer of sacrifice of praise. Because this is the altar, praise. So we're to erect the altar of God by praising him. First, you humble. Why? Because you shed, you're releasing the blood of Christ. Does everybody understand that? When you what? Every time you repent, the blood is released. To do what? To wash us. And so now that we get washed with the blood, we are forgiven. Now we erect the altar. Why? Because we're the altar, aren't we? Your mouth is the altar. We are the living temple of God. We are the tabernacle. Your tongue and your mouth is the altar of God now. That's why it says, offer up the sacrifices of praise. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Satan provoked David. And David's only way out was to repent, but he had to reap everything that he sowed. See, there is a ripple effect of our sins. Why? Sin is the presence of evil. When you cooperate with sin, it's called a transgression. When you cooperate, when you do the act of the presence of evil, you bring a curse on yourself and the family line until it is repented and broken by your mouth. Is everybody okay? So David was provoked, and the ripple effect was death and destruction. And not only that, is he said, and let this come upon my family, myself and my family. You know, David could never erect the tabernacle of God. He could never build God's house. And the Lord said, from that day on, of course, David fell into fornication, didn't he? He became Peeping David from the rooftop. And he fell into fornication with Bathsheba. And she got pregnant, and then David killed his right-hand man, Joab. That's who he ended up. He sent out to battle to be killed. And the Lord said, that's it. You have got too much blood on your hands. You will not build my house, but your son Solomon will. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Mark 15. What's happening right now? There's a provoking of envy. Mark 15. We need to stop looking at what we don't have and thank God for what we have. The only thing we should desire more and more is more of his presence, more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. And then more supplies to feed and rescue those who are in need. Hallelujah. God knows what you need. Listen, he says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So that means you seek his righteousness, you fall in divine position, things come. In verse 1, immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He answered and said to him, it is as you say. And the chief priests accused Jesus of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you. But Jesus still answered nothing. So that Pilate marveled. At the end of the feast, he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels, and they had committed murder in the rebellion. Then a multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of what? Envy. They envied Jesus. They were provoked by the devil to envy Jesus. He was interfering with their religious acts. He was bringing freedom to people, not bondage. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd. Who stirred up the crowd? The religious priests. They stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews? Now, you know, they weren't calling him the king of the Jews, were they? The chief priests were not calling. They were upset. So Pilate even provoked them, didn't he? So they cried out again, crucify him! Then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the what? Crowd. Released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be what? Crucified. Let me share with you that envy is a relative of fear. Envy is a relative of fear. They promote one another. Because actually, envy is fear. It's another form of fear. And in that arena of fear is always associated with anger. Because anger wants to protect fear. If you've ever been around somebody who's fearful or envious, they're always angry. If they're jealous, they're always angry. Because anger is a protector. They always have an attitude of anger. They're easily offended. They're very emotionally unstable. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? In 1 Timothy chapter 6. It turns individuals, because of the influence, it turns an individual around that used to shake the hand, now bite the hand. Does everybody understand that? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Envy, when there's a provoking of envy, it always looks for an excuse to be angry, to be jealous. It's always, why? Because it likes to promote self. It needs to get fed. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3, would you read it with me? It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to what? Wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what? Proud. How many of y'all know proud is a protector of self? Knowing nothing, but is obsessed with what? Disputes and arguments over words from which come what? Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contention is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into what? Temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drawn men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man and woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, and what? Gentleness. Gentleness. You know, when the enemy has got a hold of an individual tries to use God, doesn't serve God. They'll have a form of godliness in an area of saying they want to serve, but they're really not serving God. What are they doing? They're using God. Does everybody get this? And as using God, that person will always what? Reap. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. That's why the word says that the love of money moves people out of position, doesn't it? So we're not to chase money. We're to chase God. In Proverbs 24, hallelujah. Are you hot? Sure am, babe. Thank God we can edit. Proverbs 24. Is everybody there? I got lost for a minute. Hold on. Sure got on here. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 1. What does it say? Do not be what? Envious of evil men, nor desire to be what? With them. For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Through what? Wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is what? Remember, we talked about needing wisdom and understanding, amen? By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge, increased strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your what? Own war. And in the multitude of counsels, there is safety or victory. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. He who plots to do evil will be called a what? A schemer. One of the things the enemy wants to do is scheme, do evil schemes. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to man. So we see here that godly wisdom will overcome envy. In other words, by being sensitive to the Spirit of God, He's going to allow you to know what's influencing. And right now, the Holy Spirit is releasing this information to me and you so that it's something that we can begin to pay attention to. Amen? Something that we can battle. When's the last time you bound a spirit of envy, strife, anger, jealousy? Amen? In James chapter 3. Now, you find this in a workplace also, where people are envy of one another. And the one that's more envious is the first one to put the blame on somebody else and not take the blame that they've done or the mistake. James 3, verse 13, please. And let's speak this together. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by what? Good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield or submit, full of mercy and good fruits. And what? Good fruits. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as the newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, he's talking to babes. He's saying, in other words, by now we should outgrow these things. Babies act this way, not adults. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Those spiritual sacrifices are called the sacrifice of praise. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe and follow, he is precious, but those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being what? Disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from lust, fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your work good works, which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, we're to lay aside all of these things now. We're to grow and mature, not be babes. Amen? And Romans 13. We're to recognize these things. But I believe the Spirit gave this today to expose and remind. Romans 13, verse 11. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this knowing that the what? The time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness, and not in lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together, starting at verse 4. Love. Love what? Suffers long and is kind. Love does not what? Envy. So when you're walking in God's love, there is no envy. Does everybody understand? But if you're walking in the lust of the world, which they call love, there is envy. Love does not what? Parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in what? In truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now I'm going to close at Titus chapter 3. The provoking of envy is the strategy of the enemy right now. I mean, we know it's always been there. It's not just something he's doing today, believe me. But it's something that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us. Titus. Hallelujah. In chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Let's read it together. Remind them to be what? Subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, And these things I want you to what? Affirm when? Constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid what? Foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonishment, knowing that such a person is what? Warped and sinning, being self-condemned. This person is warped. In other words, his mind is controlled by the influence of demonic wisdom, demonic presence. Listen, if there's not a thirst and hunger for God's presence, there's something wrong. If there's not a thirst and hunger for the righteousness of God, there's something wrong. If there's not a thirst and hunger to please God, there's something wrong. Does everybody get it? There's something wrong. And it needs to be fixed. And it only can be fixed by exchange. Exchange. We must exchange our heart for his heart, our will for his will. We must exchange. Repent, get back into God's presence, sacrifice of worship, and learn so we don't get burned. Amen? So that your spirit man is fed with the word and filled with his presence. So that we can overcome the temptations of the soul. Because the enemy is trying to influence us to be deceived and release emotions of ungodliness so they can get fed. We need to stop feeding these demons. I'm telling you, if the body would stop feeding demons, we'd be more unified. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be protected by the blood of Christ and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. In each and every one, Lord, bring to remembrance those things we need to cut loose and repent of, that we may walk free of envy in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.